Advise the engineering staff steer away from wearing t-shirts. Oh, sorry. I wasn't reading a memo.
Ooh.
You know, the best thing about this dress code is that I think Sean's going to wear a dress. Like an actual dress, because I don't believe it specifies that he has to wear pants.
Like a pantsuit?
No, like a dress.
Oh.
Let's see. Rick, about dress codes. Oh, this is from Kristen, who claims that I was on the list last night. I'm not blaming her, understand. And again, I'm not insisting that I have to be on the list to go into a place. It's just that I was told that the party had moved elsewhere, which is not, like, out of the question. You know, there would have been some sort of a bar crawl thing. This is from K2. They tried to give our photographers and engineers a dress code a while back. It didn't take. Wait for it. One of our photographers showed up in a kilt. Good times. Rick, hearing about your engineer's constructive protest, it reminded me of a friend I used to work with. She's dropped out of sight. Reed in jail. Okay. Our management decided all women needed to wear nylons with dresses or skirts. She objected to this highly, went out and bought the largest size of thigh highs she could find. She proudly put them on with a Daria-type attitude. I don't know what that means. And then promptly rolled them down to her ankles. Ah, I see. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. I miss her. LOL. Rick. All I can, about today's top five, all I can say is, F yeah! Thanks for making my day. I did a full-on underwear dance in the back office over here in St. John's. Okay. Coming up here, just a short while, we'll have Portland poker expert Jack Elder and so forth. Let's go to the city desk with your friend Tim Riley.
You realize you go to the city desk at such random times that
well,
I never know.
I'm always standing by.
It's supposed to be at the top
I
of the hour.
They always throw me off. I'm never ready for it. I'm sorry. I'm not making excuses.
It's okay. Do we need to put somebody else in charge of the city desk, Sounder?
It is smack dab in the middle of where you say it's supposed to be.
Smack dab. That's a white phrase. No black person ever says smack dab.
Smack dab high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon. KBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Jim Riley reporting. Well, you're not going to believe this, but Brownie will soon be doing a good job again. Former FEMA chief Michael Brown, whose name became synonymous with government ineptitude after Hurricane Katrina, may be hired as a consultant by hard-hit St. Bernard Parish in New Orleans. Well, apparently, he resigned under pressure, as we all know, and they're hiring him because they're having some trouble with FEMA issues.
I can't imagine.
And they think since he's an insider, he can solve all their problems. Well, the Russians love Stalin, too. Then we have the story of rapper Puff, who fired the first bullet in the Detroit nightclub shootout that ended his life. The bullet hit Kevin Bender in the head, critically injuring him early Tuesday at the CCC, a bar and a strip of businesses along 8 Mile. Made famous by Eminem and his movie. Poof, whose real name is Deshaun Holden, was taken to a nearby outpatient treatment center in a private car while he was pronounced dead. He was a member of the rap group D12.
I gotta tell you, I was actually out walking the dog last night, and I know this makes me sound unmanly, but what are you gonna do? So I'm out there walking the dog at like midnight, and three completely lame white youths are walking down the street right in front of my house, and I don't know what they were talking about, but I swear to God, one of them said the following phrase out loud last night as they were walking, and keep in mind that these like three like 14-year-old white dudes walking through my neighborhood, and one of them is saying to the other in some sort of a boastful voice, I'm gonna have to approximate this now, yeah, boy, I was totally going to bring it 8 Mile style on that fool's ass. Uh-huh. And it's like he's 12, and it's midnight. And then that's when you realize that
you're
not
walking
only,
your dog in your neighborhood at midnight?
I wasn't walking him. I was just taking
him. Don't care what you have a dog.
No, yes, Max will defend
especially
me.
Especially Max. or no, Muppet, for that matter.
No,
they're
I got
the same size.
Well, I got that little garden area in front, and so I don't take him, like out in the street or whatever. I just, because he...
Well, it's a private garden.
You know how your dog has a schedule, and sometimes he has to go, you know, the both ways, and sometimes he just has to go one way.
And especially with small, fluffy dogs like ours, they have smaller bladders.
It is true. But their hearts are the same size as all other dogs.
They have hearts of gold.
Right before I go to bed, my last thing is to take him out of the garden, and he kind of, you know, a quick whiz, and then went back inside. But yes, I'm out there, and it's like, an Everlast and his crew are, you know, walking through my neighborhood.
So what did you say to them?
I said nothing.
Shouldn't you be home on MySpace or something?
No, it was this whole... No.
Did you say, get out of my yard?
No, get off my lawn! You realize that you are becoming old and, you know, because you're already, you know, because you're thinking to yourself, A, why do the kids dress so funny? What's with the baggy pants? Why are you talking like a rapper? And then you find yourself thinking things like, it's midnight. Do your parents know? Do your parents know that you're holding it down for the 50? Do your parents know you're representing? Yeah, it's just, then I just went back in the house and locked the door.
Earl Tapp of the Penis Watch.
Here's your penis watch for Wednesday.
My enormous penis, and my troubles start a melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything.
This watch is a special favorite of our friend Kia, who works in the promotions and marketing.
I have a double here. First, we have Joseph Donald Scodato, who offered a rare defense when the Ridgewood police charged him with masturbating in public. It's not possible, the 81-year-old man told police after his arrest.
I'm 81.
I don't have a penis.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see that coming. I was going one way with that, and then he went a whole different way.
Mm-hmm. He said it was just dry skin.
What do you mean it's just dry skin?
That's his explanation.
I don't understand. I mean, he's a Ken doll? I have no penis.
He just has rubber underwear
on. It's just dry skin.
Well,
look.
Here, he's a very good man.
No, but
I don't understand
his story.
Let's see. Apparently, I'm trying to find out why he doesn't
have a penis.
I know. That's the
okay. So,
well, he was
okay.
In a wheelchair for one thing.
I have to tell you, Sarah just mouthed the words. He was applying lotion, and then like with appropriate motions though. Just
because
now.
He's dry.
But he. Well, oh, but he has to.
That could be misconstrued.
There has to be something that. And he has to.
It doesn't say why he doesn't have this.
The penis.
Right.
Can I see that?
You can send an email to this reporter. Maybe he knows.
We should get him on the air. Oh, he doesn't have a phone number. All right, hold on. Joseph Donald Scordato offered a rare defense when Ridgewood police charged Ridgewood. When Ridgewood. I'm holding down the control button. That doesn't come. Wait. When Ridgewood. Oh, damn it. All right.
Please don't say.
Do you have the computer turned off?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Thank you. When Ridgewood police charged him with masturbating in public, that's not possible, the 81-year-old man told police after his arrest in September. I don't have a penis. Scordato of Patterson appeared for his arraignment Monday in Superior Court in Hackensack on one count of lewdness. They say that he parked his car across the street from a movie theater on Cottage Place on September 16th, unzipped his pants, and began touching himself in a lewd manner in the middle of the afternoon. Oh, well, here we go. When confronted by detectives, Scordato denied that he was masturbating. In plain view, according to a September 16th police report, quote, I have dry skin, he said, comma, and I have to itch it a lot. End quote. When asked how he felt about the charges, he uttered an obscenity and then said, let's get out of here.
All right, good times. All right, here's Jim Riley.
Who's going to question that? Here's
second half of your...
Here's part two. Right. Let's go now to Waynesville, a small county seat in the beautiful mountains of western North Carolina, where people whispered about the three older men who lived together south of town. They were lovers, and there were rumors that the trio had turned their home into a dungeon where they filmed sadomasochistic sex scenes and then posted them on the internet. Somebody asked a local sheriff to investigate the man, but the officers determined their activities, though unorthodox and perfectly legal. Last month, however, the men were arrested on charges that shocked this tiny community.
I'm shocked.
Authorities say they performed castrations and other types of genital surgeries.
Oh, this is the castration story from a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Is this like follow-up news?
On at least six people.
This is where they busted the guys because dudes would drive from three states over to get their junk whacked off.
It could have been this 81-year-old fellow.
No, chopped off is what I'm saying.
Detectives searching the home found bloody scalpels, syringes, prosthetic testicles in the room.
Oh.
The men referred to as the dungeon.
Yeah, so they would just take out a knife and just start whacking on the guy, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. They confiscated a video camera, apparently used to record the procedures, as well as, of course, the CDs and computer files.
Listen to that. I think it's just ground to a halt. I don't even know what's going to come next.
They seized a Tupperware container from the kitchen freezer holding what appeared to be human testicles.
Oh.
Well, you know, and the thing is, because it's Tupperware, they were probably still good.
Yes, it's pretty much disbelief as far as the townspeople go. Disbelief and disgust, said D.A. Michael Bonfoy.
I'm sorry? D.A. what?
Michael Bonfoy.
All right. Are we done?
Yeah.
Here's your penis watch. We'll be back after this with Jack Elder talking about Portland poker. Don't go anywhere.
I take a look at my enormous penis, and everything is going my way.
You like that? You feel good to deny people on MySpace?
Well, when they have 10,000 friends, I really don't think they're missing out if I'm not their friend.
Screw them! All right. Does it make you feel powerful? Do you feel like you're wielding the cudgel of might?
No, I never deny anyone unless they have, like, 6,000 friends.
I remember, this is not true, I remember being, when we were over at Entercom, and I won't mention any names, but I remember being at Entercom, and when you were first on the MySpace thing, long before I ever really heard about it, and you're just sort of talking in the back, sort of, blah, 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 MySpace, blah, 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 and I didn't really know what MySpace was, because you're an early adopter of all these. You know, I was. You learn about these things, like, you're on the bleeding edge of all of this stuff, like, way before I am. But there was someone that we know, and I won't mention who it is. I'll tell you. I can't tell you now.
Okay.
You're mouthing the word. No, because if I mouth the words, it'll be audible.
Accidentally say it.
There was someone we know who was a coworker that had wanted to be added, and then you had this whole awkwardness of like, but if I deny, then I'm going to see him.
Oh, I remember.
If I'm going to see him then, and
yeah, but that isn't anything having to do. I mean, I actually knew this person.
I never say no to anybody. Yeah, just because it's like then, because then you know you're going to deny, you're going to end up in an elevator with him tomorrow.
I know. No, I got asked by some guy today who said that he's not interested in meeting any girl who's over 130 pounds, and I just denied that guy.
Click.
I know. I'm sorry. He was like he was one of your friends on there. I just couldn't.
What? Really?
I couldn't live with myself. Yeah.
Who was it?
I don't know, some guy.
Some he's dude, still, some ass.
He's still on here.
All right. Screw that guy. Are you gonna announce his name? Who did you deny? Come on, tell the people who you denied.
Zach Francis.
All right, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Some guy.
He doesn't date girls, even though I'm heavy, I don't date girls over 130. Yeah.
All right. And so you were just, clank, you didn't have to think about it.
Lycus is on at 3, my friend.
You just, okay. Rick, do you know how hard it is to cringe and type at the same time? Kudos to Tim on being able to read through that uncomfortable mesh of testicles and bloody scalpels. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the Northwest Poker League, currently ranked, what are you? You said you're ranked number...
In the last quarter, I was ranked number one. I think I'm 7 or 8 now.
I don't like to brag, Rick, but I really am better than the other 6,700 people. How many people are in the Northwest Poker League, Jack Elder?
There's approximately 6,600.
So you are better than 6,592 of those people, probably.
Well, I like to think, in my humble opinion, yes.
All right. So now you may recognize the voice of. Now you've been in radio in Portland off and on for a long time, haven't you?
Well, I've been out of it a lot longer than I was in it. I left in 84, 85.
Now, is that you left, or is that like you left to spend more time with your family?
Well, I looked at my 23-year-old program director and said, I don't need this anymore. I'm 43. He's not smart enough to put his shoes on. I'm out of here.
That's fantastic. The other reason you may recognize the name Jack Elder is if you, over these, what are we, in April now? So I guess it was last fall that the poker show aired. It all blends together. Unemployment time, it's all just a blur. Sarah Dillon and myself and you, Jack Elder, we did this West Coast blah blah blah, Texas blah 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 shootout on CNW14. Our friends Wild Bills helped us
there
out
with
that.
We did it for 6 weeks.
6 weeks. I got a lot of people who saw it, though, and I got a lot of, how can I get on that poker show? And I don't know, they may be doing another one. I'm not sure if they're doing a second season.
I haven't heard anything about it.
No one tells me anything.
The producer, Deb didn't produce, as I understand it. So they showed the show, and that was it.
Oh, God.
I don't know what anything
You've
about
got
that.
Another story on that one,
we
I know.
We had so many interesting Sundays, didn't we?
It was,
yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I should say this, actually, just for the record, just to clarify. Wild Bills came through on every
yes,
on
did.
Every level.
Absolutely. Rick, thank you.
Rick Walker and Steve Triplett and
stand-up people.
All of those guys at Wild Bills, they were fantastic.
I love them.
Many people were involved with the poker show. The people from Wild Bills were of the utmost professionalism, and they got things done.
And
they,
us.
They made things happen correctly, and of course us.
Yes.
Those
yes.
Wild Bills folks, top-notch.
The Wild Bills people, they were great.
Yes. And you're not going to say anything else.
I'm not saying nothing about
nothing.
You can't
say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. So you, how long have you been playing poker?
It's just been a little over 16, 18 months, somewhere in there. That's all. Okay. I started Hold'em. Yeah, I started in October of 94.
How long have you been a...
94.
How long have you been...
2004.
How long have you been gaming, would you say? How long have you been playing...
I started playing Penny Ante Poker when I was about 12.
Okay, so that's what I mean. So when you say you started 18 months ago, I'm talking about like how, like when did you play your first card game? About 12 years old?
About a half a century ago.
Were you like in a back alley somewhere in Hoboken?
No, it was all my grade school, junior high school kids, all my buddies. And fact is, my high school... The last newspaper of the year that I graduated, I was designated as a person most likely to operate a casino.
And have you operated a casino?
No, I run a bingo game.
All right. Well, see, now that's
the closest you can get in Oregon.
No, that's money in the bank, my friend. Well, you get that bingo. You get those bingo. Those bingo women are crazy. So, I mean, you start through. I mean, that is good.
They're loyal.
Everybody's got to make a living of something. I'm just saying, that's some serious money. You get those bingo women.
They have great time doing it. I've been doing it now for some 16, 17 years. And we raise the money, and then we turn around and give it away.
So now, have you ever, you've been playing poker, and you're 12, and let me ask how old you are?
Oh, yeah, 64.
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
I wouldn't have guessed that either.
Yeah,
I never.
You're 65 in August.
You've got a very young bearing about you, Jack Elton.
Well, what I have about me is damn good genes.
So you've been playing poker for 52 years.
Off and on.
Now, did you ever play, professionally? Did you ever support yourself with card playing or gaming?
Just a little bit when I was in the Army. We played pinochle for money.
Yeah.
And it was end of the month stakes, and we'd stand at the... pay line and collect the money that was owed us, me and my partner.
All right, so we're talking to Jack Elder, who if you may have lost money to him if you are in the Northwest Poker. The Northwest Poker League, and again,
No money.
I'm saying you may have lost money to him, period. And then, of course, if you're in the Northwest Poker League, they may have played against you. I know this sounds like I'm doing a big plug, but I'm really not. It's just I'm in it, and I know you're in it too, and that's the wild.
And there's a lot of interest.
Is it six nights a week? How often do those games run?
Well, in the last quarter, I was playing seven nights a week.
Yeah. So, it's because there's people that would come into the poker show. When we were doing this poker show on TV, people would come in, and it was like we would hear that in the last 3 months or something, they had played in 150 games or something, and their ranking was, whatever. And because they'd played, literally a game or two or sometimes three every day.
Yes. I played 138 games last quarter. That's 138 different tournaments.
So, here's a dumb question. A lot of people... I don't mind saying this, that my wife is really the gambler in the family. And I played poker when I was a kid and growing up. But then I sort of, stopped doing it for a while. And then I came back to it. My wife has been going to casinos since she was 16. So she really knew about... I remember that movie Rounders came out. We went to the... She was actually the one who wanted to go see it because she already knew about Texas Hold'em. She actually went... By the time we moved to Portland, my wife had actually already written a gambling book. She wrote... It was very low level. It was kind of a beginner's guide. But she had written, actually, a book about gambling. And she was like, no, this is the Cadillac of poker. This is the big game in Vegas. And I didn't know anything about it. But the Hold'em has just taken over the whole country. And is that... people want to know why Hold'em is so much better. I had a friend ask me that, and she said, "Well, why are all the guys so into Hold'em? Why not whatever five card stud or seven card stud, whatever?"
I think when it comes to the strategy of Hold'em, it's relatively simple to learn. Number one, number two, is that it is more competition. The better you are at it, the lower the percentage is of the gamble.
Right.
When you're playing other games, there's a lot of gambling that goes on because you're taking big risks, big chances, and things like that. With Hold'em, they're very minimal. The better you get. The beginners, it's probably 50-50. By the time you get up to people who played a lot, it's more like 80-20. And with the pros, it's like 90-10. They've got a pretty good idea of what you have by what you bet.
Now, is it true, you told me, and I don't mean to be giving away all your business here, but I mean, Are you the guy, when the cards come out, do you watch people when they look at their cards?
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing I've been trying to train myself to do, is to pick up my own, when I get the two hole cards dealt, to look at them at the last minute, and to spend all my time watching people when they look at their cards. But I feel like I'm just sort of posing because I don't know how to look at.
You can't watch all of them. You got to pick out ones, the ones that you feel may be dangerous or stupid. One of the two.
I'm always next to the dumb guy. Every time I go to a casino, you know who I'm always next to? I'm always next to the guy who just turned 21.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
He's loaded out of his mind. He's there on daddy's money or a trust fund. Or
and he's
just
throwing it as fast as he can.
And he's just in every hand. It's like, you know, the blind will be 50, 500. Or he's all in on every hand. It's like, I'm always right next to one of the maniacs, if they call this guy, right?
More money than sense.
And
a
so
maniac.
What do you do? You're sitting next to some guy. Because, and you, by the way, our phone number here, not, please, I exhort you.
We get lost.
Please do not call in and tell a bad beat story. No one cares. No one wants to hear about.
Oh,
the
we've heard them all.
No, it's just, I say, and I'm the worst. I'm the worst about starting with the. Oh, she might. You know, my wife will go, "How was your night?" And I could either say I won or I lost. Do I do that? No. I always say, "Well, okay, I got dealt ace jack."
I don't want to hear
and
it.
And she's just like, "I don't care. I wasn't there." So I no bad beat stories. But if you got a question or whatever, comment, poker, strategy, poker, you know, whatever.
Yeah, why you like it,
It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 here with, and we've just been calling you Portland Poker Expert. God, I don't know that.
Who cares?
I'm assuming it's true.
Yeah, well, you
Portland
know,
Poker Guru.
It's good for 5 minutes.
503, so I'm good for 5 minutes, my friend. 503-733-2970. I don't know the wah sound on that one. But
yeah, you're young. When you get older, it'll be better.
So I'm always sitting right next to the guy at the casino who's just throwing in his money. He's drunk. He's an idiot. But he's just pushing everybody out. And it's like, I never know what to do with that guy. Do you just get up and leave the table? Or
you sit and watch and you make fun of him. And then wait till you have really good cards and then jump all over him.
So is the deal that you just sort of, you got to just lay low and just let him buy the pots until you got something unbeatable? Or
patience, grasshopper. Patience.
That's, I mean, the thing is, and no matter what table I go to, no matter what casino I'm, it's like he's right there.
Yeah, well, it's going to, it happens that way when you're playing a hold'em, because there's always one or two that want to push everybody around. The testosterone's flowing so hard, and you've got to sit there and just say, okay, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wind up with pocket kings. I'm going to wind up with pocket aces. And when he does, I'm going to kill him.
Now, typically speaking, it's the lowest. What's the lowest you'll play? What is you hear that check? Jacks are better to open or whatever. But I mean, what's the?
Well, it's a combination of things. Your position on the table. If you're playing last, then it's more like a king 10, queen 10, queen 9, somewhere in there is about the lowest that I'll go. Or obviously any of the pocket.
Is that suited or?
No, unsuited.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We'll just, hi, it's, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Emma.
Hi, Emma. How can I help you on this fine Wednesday?
I was hoping to ask a poker question of your guest.
God bless, and you're a woman, too. Did somebody pay you to call in? Emma, what celebrity would you say you most resemble?
I looked a little bit like Madonna when she was younger.
Oh, you're kidding. Trashy Madonna?
Mm.
80s Madonna. No, just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Bustier Madonna.
You look like Madonna, and you have a poker question. Are you married? Of course you are.
I am married.
See?
And I have to brag that I won a tournament last night for $295, 17 people.
All right. It's not, like, God forbid your husband gets hit by a bus or gets cancer or something. If you ever need comfort, you come to Rick.
I will definitely keep that in mind. And I'm so happy you're back on the air.
Thank
I used to listen to you all the time. And I went to Fred Meyer and I bought a $9.99 radio just so I could get AM in my home office so I could listen to
God bless you. Thank you, Emma. What's your question here?
My question is kind of twofold. One, is it worth it to practice online? And two, what book? I have Doyle Brunson's Power System, but what would be maybe a newer book that you guys would recommend?
Well, I don't recommend books. I say you have to get out there and play, and you have to see people, and you have to see cards. A lot of them. And something where you can play short tournaments, like we're playing at an hour and a half, that's really, really good for you.
I end up, there's this guy, I don't mention his name, but I've been playing the games, and there's kind of the same group of radio guys. It's radio guys and kind of their friends. And there's this guy that I've played with like four times in a row now, and every time I see him, he's got a new poker book, and he's got a new strategy guide. And I always wonder if it's, I'm not going to say it's a scam, but I mean, it's like, they basically are all going to say the same kinds of things, right? I mean, it's, and there's really no excuse, no substitute for just getting out there and just playing it.
Well, I don't want to forget our caller here, too. It's what was your name again?
Emma.
It's Emma.
Emma, the world's most perfect woman.
Well, Emma, what I would say, though, is if you've got the books, go ahead and read them, but you're going to get bits and pieces out of it. It's like being at a convention for 3 days. You'll get 5 minutes of information for 3 days of hanging around. Read all the pages, pick what you want, keep them. When it comes to online play, go there and practice your patience, your skills, But don't get sucked into their wild play. If you're at a table where there's a whole lot of people going all in, all in, all in, all in, find another table.
All right. Emma, was your name Emma or Ella?
It's Emma, E-M-M-A.
Emma, my new favorite person. Thank you.
Emma Thompson.
Are you are you coming to the listener party next Thursday?
I think I'm going to be in Palm Springs.
What does Palm Springs got that Rick doesn't got, baby?
Where's it going to be?
Madonna is playing at Coachella.
fine. Fine. You're dead to me.
Where's
Wait a minute,
party?
The next Thursday, or because we're going the last weekend of the month.
It's the Thursday the 20th.
Ooh, actually, I might be able to come to that.
See, that's what I'm saying. Okay, you're back in my good grade. You're no longer dead to me.
Well, how do I get into the listener party? Yeah. Do I need tickets, or how does it work?
Oh, boy. No, you can just show up. There are no cover, no nothing. It's my way of saying thank you to y'all for putting the show back on the air. Next Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m., Sabala's Mount Tabor. It's going to be the best damn time of your life.
Ah. Fantastic. Well, I hope I see you there.
Thank you, Emma.
Thanks, you guys.
All right.
Bye.
Good times.
Hey, anyway, I might come to that one.
Yes, I think everybody's going to come to that one now.
You guys are so predictable.
Yeah, we really are.
You buying?
Yes. No, so, all right. Let's go back to the... Hi, Paul.
Yes, sir. Hi,
Paul. You're on the Rick Emerson Show with Portland poker legend Jack Elder. What do you got, brother?
Tell Emma that Palm Springs is a lot closer to Vegas than Portland is. So.
Well, you know. Uh-huh. What do you got?
Mr. Elder, you got a great radio voice.
Well, thank you. I wish all the program directors I work for believe that. It's going to be working.
And you kind of look like a William Holden, too. You know, Network Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, I never married the women he married, though. I married other women.
No, it's true.
Hey, Mr. Elder?
Yes.
I just want a couple things. Your thoughts on video poker and gambling in general, because I have a couple of friends who...
Are these friends named Paul?
Pardon?
Are these friends named Paul as well?
No, they're not.
Okay. Yeah.
But they got in serious trouble for embezzling funds?
Gambling habit? I don't play for money. No, not currently. I'm only playing for points.
Is that true? You're the Northwest Poker League. You don't do home games. You don't do anything like that right now.
No, I don't play at home games. Number one, because they all deal around the table. They wind up drinking too much. I don't like putting up with drunks, and I don't like dealing with people dealing with people who are there to have fun and not play poker. I'm very serious about it.
And so for you, it's very much that you're there to win, and it's not so much a pastime as it is you're there to.
I like the discipline, the competition. I refer to it as blood sport. Without the blood.
I think especially if you are going to be playing in a tournament where there's something serious at stake or whatever, you gotta be that way. You know what Paul, thank you very much.
You don't play for a revenue enhancement?
I don't at this time. I figured that after I played 3,000 hours of competition, that I might be up to the skill level that I could play for money, but not right now.
All right. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We're here with Jack Elder, currently ranked somewhere in the top 10 of 6,600 players, the Portland Poker League.
Absolutely.
Northwest Poker League, rather. Mm-hmm. I got this thing. It's like my wife, again, she plays a lot of online poker, and I always tell her to, and she just does it because of her schedule. It doesn't allow her to do a lot of home games or whatever, and so she plays online. And I tell her to wait till what I call the drunk window, which is like 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And the drunk window, that's when the East Coasters start, you know, they're toasted, and then the West Coasters start playing, and they're getting toasted. And I tell her, stay sober and be the last sober guy at the table, and you'll clean up.
Yep.
You know, and that's my thing when I go to a home game, too, because, you know, everybody else is just getting plowed and or whatever else. And so if you can just last, you just play tight. And you last like a good hour, then those guys are, that's when you see the guys are like 9-4, all in, you know, and they're just going in on anything.
Well, Jack looks intimidating when he plays too, with the sunglasses and the hats.
Do you wear the sunglasses at the table?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I went and saw Wild Bill's put on one of them at the Gypsy, and I saw him playing there.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
I was a points leader there.
Yeah,
too.
You were really scary looking.
I try to be.
Do you dress to intimidate when you play?
I created a character.
And so, what do you dress? I don't think I've ever seen you play except, I don't think we've ever seen you do except at the TV show. What do you dress like when you go to play?
Well, I wear the hat, this hat that I've got on right now.
And like a fedora. Right.
And I've got very dark glasses.
Right.
And I never talk to anybody. I'm absolutely silent at the table. One of the guys has called me the silent assassin. And I thought, what a nice compliment.
Now, do you do that because you don't want to inadvertently give anything away or because you just want to have an intimidating persona?
Both. I don't want to give anything away. I want to intimidate, and I also want to be able to examine them behind the sunglasses. I can look at them both directly and indirectly, and they don't know where I'm looking.
What's the most? If I can ask you this, what is the most And you can answer this or not. What is the most you have lost? I'm talking actual cash in one night of playing poker, if you want to tell us that.
Oh, yes. In one day, it was about $300.
Okay. Well, that's not
that. And that was just 2 or 3 weeks ago. I was down at in Las Vegas. I went to Binion's and played in 3 tournaments in one day.
Right.
It was only $100 buy-in for each one of them.
Right.
And I just gloried in it. I got to play 8 hours of poker in 3 different tournaments and had a great time.
Binion's is a great place. It's such a great vibe, and it's got
the home of Texas Hold'em.
Are they still doing the World Series there? Because I heard they were moving it.
Well, one of the companies bought the casino.
Right.
And they're moving it this year for the first time ever.
Oh, that's too bad.
The final table will be someplace else.
Oh, that's too bad. That's unfortunate. Because that place has just got such a great vibe going on there.
But they're playing there every day, 3 times a day in tournaments. And if you win one of their tournaments, the regular tournaments during the day,
right,
you get invited back at the end of the month for the Champions Tournament.
Oh, fantastic.
Guaranteed.
I'll tell you what, we're going to take a little break here. We'll come back. We're talking with Jack Elder, ranked somewhere in the top 10, top 5 out of 6,600 people in Northwest Poker League. 503-733-2970. Got a question, comment, et cetera, about the kooky world of predominantly Texas Hold'em.
Absolutely.
But we get back, I'm going to ask you a little bit about tells when we get back.
Oh, sure.
Because my wife was kind enough to give away my tell at the table in front of like 7 other people about 2 weeks ago.
Don't jump up and
she's
down.
She's all drunk and she's like, Rick's got a tell. Do you want to know what it is? And then before I can put my hand over her mouth, out it comes. We'll talk about that. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. Well, what can you do? We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. We're coming along. We are here with Jack Elder.
Yes, I am.
And you work at the, now can I say that you work at the Oregon Sports
Hall of Fame?
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, down on
3rd. What's in there?
Down.
Is it just like a big swoosh inside and then that's it?
Yeah, 300 Oregonians that have been inducted into the Hall of Fame that did all great things in sport. It's a good place to come, you know, come down and learn about your own history.
And that's actually just down the street from us, right?
About 3 blocks away. Yeah, with 3rd and Salmon.
All right, we're talking about the all things pokery.
And you were going to ask me something.
I was going to ask you this, because we... I went to one of the Northwest Poker League games,
uh-huh.
And I was doing really well, and then I noticed at one point I caught myself kind of doing a tell sort of thing. I caught myself, and somebody asked us last week, they didn't know what we were talking about, we said a tell. I'll tell you the story that I was at this home game, about a month ago, and we're sitting there and the cards are going around and my wife is, about twice what she should have been, alcohol consumption wise,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I'm just, you know,
and, she just sort of says, hey everybody, Rick's got a tell. Do you want to know what it is? And I'm like, and I'm reaching across the table like, no, to stop her.
Okay.
She opens her mouth and she reveals what my tell is. Explain to people what a tell is, because somebody said they didn't know.
A tell is when you respond to the cards.
Right.
Whatever your cards are. And if, say, they're bad cards and you frown. Well, that's a tell.
It's a giveaway. It's a physical giveaway.
It's a physical giveaway that you do something each time that is approximately the same activity, and you're letting me know what you may have.
And so what are the most common tells that you see at the table?
The first one is they look at the cards, and then they look at their chip stack, and then they look back at the cards because they're deciding how much they're going to bet.
Right.
You know, which means, oh, boy, I've got a good hand.
That means I've got a live one. I've got something I can
I'm
play
ready
with.
To play this one.
Right.
And you have to know whether or not they're an idiot or whether or not they're a solid player, because if they're an idiot, you know, who knows what they've got and
sure.
they consider good.
9-6, how could I lose?
Yeah, right. Another one that I really like, and it's really hard to detect, is somebody looks at their cards, and then they look down at the flop, and they keep looking at the flop. You see the eyes going back and forth. They're looking for something.
Is it looking for the flush?
They're looking for the card that they want, and it's not there. So when they bet, you go, aha, he didn't have it. It's a bluff.
I see. So then the flop is the first 3 cards that come down.
That's right.
On the table, the community cards. So if they're looking at that and they go back and forth, it's sort of like, maybe if I look enough, that 7 will become a 5.
That's right. And sometimes their whole head will move, you know. And at other times, you know, it's just their eyes. They go down there and you can just barely see the pupils dot back
right.
and forth. And sometimes their eyes will go down and they'll get stuck on one card. And you go, aha. It's the ace they're looking at. They've got an ace. They're ready to bet this sucker.
Right.
And so if you've got pocket tens, You better be very careful.
Now, the thing that I've been told is that if the guy has the hole cards, he's two hole cards, the flop, the first three community cards come down, he looks at those, and then if more than once he looks at his own cards again, that he is checking the suit to see if he's got a flush, that he's either working towards a flush or...
Very good chance of that, or two pair. He's got two small cards, and there's two small cards out there, and he's double-checking to make certain that he has both of them, because if he doesn't, there's a king or an ace out there, so he's going to kill him.
Right.
So he's going back, and he's rechecking himself. And so what you have to do is you look at your cards, put them down, and don't look at them again.
And
never touch them.
You got to work on committing them to memory. There's not
You've got to commit yourself to sitting still, not moving your hands, not playing with your chips, not looking or, you know, being very specific about what you're not doing.
Question. Do you develop fake tells?
I do when I'm playing some really, really good cards.
You weasel, I know.
I act.
All right. Has Alan, do we... All right, so that I've been ever since my wife gave away my tell, I've been thinking about developing an alternate tell that is completely fictitious.
Do it, do it.
All right, excellent.
Do it.
There you go. All right, so I'll just say if you want to go up against the man here, Jack Elder, Northwest Poker League. You can find out more about him. It's nwpokerleague.com. And again, I'm not the.
I'm going to go get Rick and ask him to give me some, you know, help me out on this.
We've
been in here plugging.
Wild Bills, you know, they've been doing this and it's a big success. There's almost 7,000 people in it. And so the fact that you are in the top 10 somewhere, possibly in the top 5, I mean, it's
absolutely,
my friend. I'm in awe of you.
Number one in the last quarter.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, number one. And the last, but look at you. All right, so we want to thank Jack Elder, ladies and gentlemen. We'll have to have you back at some point.
Oh, anytime. Anytime.
Jack Elder, we want to thank CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard for joining us today as well. Don't forget, tomorrow, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. Friday, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. And tomorrow, we will be naming the artist formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band. Also, tomorrow, we'll be giving away another chance for you to get up on stage and unleash your inner rock and roll metal god with more. Are these metal lyrics real or fake? Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon. For Johnson 970, proud part of the CBS radio family. And in the newsroom, it is Tim Riley. I'll see you in 21 hours on Johnson 970. Like us next. World famous Phil Hunter Show at 7. Don't let fashion grind it down. See you all tomorrow. Bye.